The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Undisputed Era has arrived.
You have the 25 days of Christmas. Impact's going to have the 25 days of releases.
I send it you to deletion! Yeah!
It's hashtag Alpha versus Omega.
Let's just say hashtag aroused.
No, you're going to step in that ring, and you're going to be looking at me eye to eye, and you're going to realize you ain't got a chance.
Thank God we don't have to talk about it anymore, because she got that cancer out of there.
Sean stole my answer. I'm just glad we don't have to talk about this shit anymore.
And that's not an insult. That is just a fact of life.
I've been saying it for a long, long time. I'm the main event. I'm number one. I'm untouchable. This is proof. This isn't a we story. This isn't an us. I'm the greatest sports entertainer of all time. And now, with this, do you know what this means? NXT just became the A show.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the max.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Deezer.
Go.
Welcome, everybody, to another great episode of Wrestling to the Max. That's right, we are brought to you by the W2M Network via W2Mnet.com. And, of course, I am your host tonight. And along with me, your amazing co-host, Mr. Sean Garmer.
Well, we're back. The A-Show has finally returned. Not that, you know, Liz, Harry, and Vanda do a wonderful job all the time holding down all the review shows. But we're here. And Gary finally has his all three of his kids at the house, so.
Yeah, and that's, of course, why the hiatus, because it's been a difficult task, handling business besides, doing everything else in life. Double trouble, along with my daughter. So glad to be back in the saddle here. I'm hoping this will be a regular occurrence now, not just a, hey, when we can do it kind of thing. So, this is great, Sean. I am so excited to be here tonight. We've got a lot of great things to talk about, a lot of big wrestling news coming out of the world of WWE. They're trying to do many things, evolve, if you will. And, of course, we've got some other interesting things to kind of chat about. So I'm so excited about that. Lots of cool stuff to get into when it comes to all the news we're going to cover tonight. We also want to share some really cool things with you guys. Also, make sure you don't forget that we are, of course, on all the platforms when you're going to find a podcast, which is iTunes. And, maybe you're using Spreaker or maybe even I don't know. There's plenty of other places.
iHeartRadio.
Yeah, iHeartRadio.
There, apparently. You can listen to us on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. But now we finally made it, Gary. We've made
to the
big time, the one that a lot of people have subscribed to for your music. Now I think in the recent years, they've now become a destination for podcasts. And, hey, we're on it now.
Spotify, baby. We are there. And I am so excited about that. Spotify not only hosts this show, but they're also hosting all our other W2M type shows like Soccer to the Max, also MMA to the Max, along with all the other Video Game to the Max, all the other to the maxes, right? So I am so excited about that. That's something that's really, really cool. And, I have a sister who always is on Spotify all the time. And so sharing this news with her made her feel very happy because she liked to tune in every once in a while. And she always had to go other places to find it. Now she gets to just hang out in her car and use it. So, really, really cool, and I'm glad we are now available on another platform for everyone listening. So many great things have been going on, and not just wrestling, but all the other sports. We got football coming up here, so many, many different things will be coming way.
That's about to begin. Soccer had the World Cup. I mean, soccer never ends, really, but
yeah,
the World Cup just ended, so that cycle starts again. Hopefully with the U.S. in it the next time. But, yeah, I mean, that was partially also the reason why we were kind of hiatus, was having to watch 3 games in 1 day and then also having to do a show after that. It was hard enough then trying to pay attention to all the other stuff. And, you know, Gary was at the hospital every day. So, you know, it was just like, you know, maybe let's just take a little break. Obviously, you guys didn't know we were taking a break, but now we can have more clear heads and things a little bit more settled down. Hopefully they can stay that way and we can do this more regularly. I don't know if we're going to go back to being more regular, as in not talking about WWE stuff, because the World Cup being around has made it to where it's like, I love the G1. I know that there's a lot of great matches that have happened. One of these, you know, maybe the weekend, Sunday or Monday, I might, you know, stroll through and see some of the great matches that happen. But I don't know, going from one tournament to the other one doesn't always make you go, yeah, I just want to dive right into this other thing that takes like a ton of time to watch, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So we've kind of, you know, backed away a little bit on reviewing shows here on this podcast, and we're trying to maybe expand our world by just having review shows, and those are primarily WWE right now. And heck, if you're a guy or a girl out there listening right now and you're like, I watch New Japan every week all the time and I wish I could just jump on and do a podcast, hit us up. Let us know. Hey, go to w2mnet.com. There's a place there where you can go ahead and, hey, apply to be a part of our group. And they can, of course, review that and let you know if you can, you know, of course, jump on with us or have your own podcast here. We would love to have a New Japan podcast. We'd also love to have maybe other podcasts. If you're a big fan of Impact Wrestling or Ring of Honor, we're always open for any of that. So we want you guys and girls to be able to get a chance to kind of share your voice when we can, because like Sean said, our world sometimes gets a little bit heavy. Sean and I both have kids. Things are not as easy as they once were for us just to do whatever we want, watch whatever we want. We've got other things now, so it's kind of difficult. So, hey, if you want to be a part of that, let us know. We can't wait to hear from you. So, well, Sean, I know we've kind of sat here and we went through a lot of the other spiel and kind of got the business out of the way. Mm-hmm. One last thing before we jump into getting into this big wrestling news week. I got to tell you, I did something that, you know, kind of out of the blue. I went to a independent wrestling show this past weekend, and I did it after hearing JR's podcast, and he talked about that he was going to be at a show called World Class Revolution, and that was, of course, going to be taking a part at just down the street from me, actually, where Dallas, the show, was filmed. And so I went down to the ranch, and I went and enjoyed their big show. I got to meet, you know, a few wrestlers there and just get to hang out and enjoy myself. And it was really, really cool. I have to be honest. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do or who I wanted to go ahead and pay to go get a picture with, but I went ahead and did it. I bought a copy of John Morrison's movie, Boone the Bounty Hunter, and hung out with him for a minute there and got a picture with him. And had to get a picture with Scott Steiner. I had to do it, Sean. There's MVP over there. Oh, Trevor Murdoch. All these other guys that I'd love to go hang out with, but I had to get a picture with my guy, Steiner. So that's one of the big ones for me. It also kind of made me feel weird. He's as tall as I am.
Yeah, he wasn't ever the tallest guy, but I mean, that must have been just a cool moment to get that picture with him. And, you know, as much as we've talked about him over the years, like, just to be like, man, I'm standing right next to him, have that picture to show for it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I wanted. See, I didn't even really care about autographs and all these booths and all that they had set up, all the gimmick tables. Of course, you know, everybody listening, if you've been to these shows, you know, you spend about $20-$30. And then maybe they ask for a little extra for a picture, or maybe they just give you the picture if you spend your money. And, you know, that's the way Morrison was. I spent $20 and I got a picture too. So, and I got a cool DVD. You know, I had to spend $10 extra for Scott Steiner to get a picture with him. But I got a pretty sweet picture with autograph. And the one last guy that I actually went ahead and struck a little cash on was good old JR. I had to do it. And I could have got an autograph, but once again, those pictures to me mean way more than an autograph. That's just me. I've kind of gotten older. I'm not going to be pinning these pictures all over my wall anyway. So yeah. I went ahead and got a picture with good old JR, which was a really, really cool. And got the chance to tell him I loved his podcast. So that it was
I'm sure he really appreciated that.
Yeah,
all that was left was for you to buy some barbecue sauce.
I know, and I thought about it. I really did, but I had already dropped quite a bit of cash at that store, that whole show, and of course, I didn't buy just my ticket to go there. I bought some other tickets, so I thought, you know, I've spent enough money here. I don't want to spend just way too much. And then my wife's like, "Hey, you're spending all this money on stuff that you know we could be spending on the baby." So
yeah, you got two babies now, so I know. You know.
You got to think about those things now. That's what I did. And, you know, what was really, really cool is they had a great show. You know, MVP is the champ of that promotion. And you had Justin Roberts over there doing all the ring announcing. And, of course, you know, you had like Talia Valkyrie and Angelina Love and all these different people there. It was just really, really cool. I mean, lots of different people that I never thought I would see. In that intimate of an atmosphere, right?
Right.
So, you know, PCO versus Boone the Bounty Hunter was a lot of fun too. So, you know, good stuff. And you know, I'm sure I'll get a chance to do it down the line. But that was one of those moments I just had to do out of the blue. I'm not joking. The night before, I said, "Hey," and my sister happened to be in town from Florida. "Hey, you want to go do something?" And then I included my dad. I said, "Dad, you used to go to World Class back in the day when it was in its heyday. You want to go?" So it was kind of a family event for us, and I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet that was awesome. So, you know, hey, that's memories of having a whole family event at a wrestling show. And you got to meet all these people that you enjoy. So that's why sometimes it is good to support your local indie. You get big events like that. So,
Definitely. And just, you know, a good time, honestly. A good night, really family-friendly show is what it was. But it's just a lot of fun. And I love also, the last thing I'll say is, I bought the movie, like I said, Boone the Bounty Hunter, and Morrison told me, he goes, "Yes, please review it. And if you don't like it, don't." So it's okay. So I have yet to watch it.
That's a simple way to solve that.
Exactly. I loved it, so... Good stuff all the way around. Well, enough about me, Sean. I think it's time for us to jump into some quick hits, buddy.
Let's do this.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
Sorry, it like freaked out halfway through. And I was like... when I was gonna hit stop, it started going again. I was like, okay, well.
Oh no, yeah. It's trying to make up for lost time. That's right, what it's doing.
Exactly.
It's gonna hit like 17 times. So, no, I mean, we start this whole thing out with a little bit of interesting talk here, because this is something we've talked quite a bit about on this podcast for, I feel like, Sean, 2 years, maybe 3 years, and that's about the women in wrestling, especially with the world of WWE and the fact that they've tried to kind of work their way around making them more important, making that part of the show way more involved than it ever has been. And the Women's Revolution, of course, we all know has kind of gained some momentum. We had the Mae Young Classic last year. We're going to get a Mae Young Classic 2 this year. All that's news that we've already known, we've already heard about. But the thing is, we've heard for years is, man, maybe they'll eventually do an all-women's show, right? Maybe they'll do a whole, you know, like NXT, they'll add another brand and do that. Well, that's yet to happen just yet. But what we do have now, Sean, as of Monday Night Raw, an all-women's pay-per-view event. And this is Evolution, not to be, you know, misconstrued to be the faction Evolution. No, this is actually a name of a pay-per-view, Evolution. I think this is really cool. I don't know, Sean. I mean, I think we've kind of expected this for a long time, but it's finally here. How do you feel about it? Now that it's here, now that you know it's going to take place, what was your first initial thoughts?
Well, my first initial thought was somehow this is not going to go according to plan because WWE with their events, usually it doesn't, but or sometimes they focus way so much on making history that they forget the focus of the event, you know. But let's be clear. It's not the first ever all women's event. We know that. We know that there have been, Shine, Shimmer, WOW Wrestling, all that. There have been so many freaking Impact did it before WWE. We know that. I wanted to preface that by saying I'm not here to act like it didn't happen, but this is, let's be honest, when WWE does something, it doesn't matter what the bubble thinks. This is a big deal. This is a big deal for the casual fans, the WWE only fans, the fans that are only fans of the women wrestlers, because that's out there, especially with Total Divas and Total Bellas, and now the Miz and Maryse show, which is actually pretty good, by the way. Even if you don't like the other two, Miz and Maryse are so good on their own. You can enjoy that show without liking the other two. So I would recommend, Gary, to, if you get a chance, check that out.
Yeah,
you'll laugh. You'll laugh for sure. I mean, they were the best. They were some of the best parts of Total Divas anyway. So them getting their own show is not surprising at all. But honestly, getting back to this, I think this is cool. It's just the Royal Rumble, you know, that wound up not being, I think, the event they wanted it to be for the women. The Money in the Bank as well has been hit or miss. This is something that, you know, past, present, future, you get all that in one show. You're going to get at least three title matches because the NXT title, women's title is going to be on the line too. I mean, I think that's really cool. I think that's something that, like, you don't get with every promotion of being able to say, well, even our developmental is going to be able to be on this show with the main roster, and people are really going to be able to see what they have to offer. It's possible they may stagger out the Mae Young Classic to make it to where the finals happen on this show, too. That's not total certainty yet. We'll see how that goes. But imagine, I mean, just all the stuff they can do on this show, how cool it could be, how big of an event it could be. You know, they really could make this a huge thing. Triple H is on record saying that this does not mean it's going to happen every year. It depends on the audience. It depends on the fans. If they want to see this every year, then they'll do it every year. If they want this to be a one-time event, then it'll be a one-time event. So it just depends on how they react. And the reception to this, obviously, and everything else. So, plus, you got Caitlyn coming back, which I'm excited about because Caitlyn was always one of my favorites. Io Shirai is finally coming after all the waiting around we've been doing. It feels like for her to show up. Toni Storm's going to be in the Classic again. Of course, they're also going to have NXT UK women involved in that. Women's pay-per-view as well, so, you know, Toni Storm against somebody, you know, is going to be great. So I'm looking forward to all that. I want to see what kind of matches they come up with. Are we going to have some dream matches? You know, I know Bayley's on record saying she wants to face Lita. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. And hey, those kind of matches, those dream matches that people really honestly can only do playing the WWE 2K games, well, they could become reality on this show, and that's a cool, cool deal. And, you know, you may even have some names that you never thought you'd see. We already know that Deonna Purrazza is already going to be a part of NXT. Now, maybe she'll be a part of that event as well. Of course, you know, from Ring of Honor fame. Also, you know, maybe even the rumored Madison Rayne shows up. Who knows? So you're going to have all these different names from different, you know, promotions, from, you know, international fame, different, you know, times in history will be there probably. So we're looking at a really cool event. I think it's going to be great. Sean, you're exactly right. WWE sometimes misses the boat because of the fact that they get so excited about something, they forget to put the focus into it that it actually needs. They just throw it all out there and throw it up and then forget that it's not clean and pleasant for everyone to watch. So I hope that's not the case. I hope they do take their time on it. You know, this is a big deal for their image, you know, and they're trying to showcase the women just as important as the men, kind of a 50-50 thing. You know, the only thing we're lacking is maybe women's tag team championship belts, which I think those rumors will probably actually be true by the time we hit this event. It wouldn't surprise me if that's not the case.
It's possible. Stephanie is on record saying that, you know, they hear it, they know that fans want it, but not ready yet. Mm-hmm. But again, like you said, it could be something that they wait for that event to announce.
And, yeah.
You know, then they figure out how they're going to do it from there. One person we won't see there is Tessa Blanchard because she went to Impact, and she's been having a heck of a run already. And I mean, Impact itself has been really good lately. Slammiversary, you know, we talked off air that it was a show that a lot of people were very into, and it's a big talk on our wrestling Twitter while that was going on and afterwards as well. So,
yeah.
I
am embarrassed to say I haven't watched it yet. I plan on watching it. I have just not had the time yet, but I will watch it. And I from everything I've heard, I've read, it sounds amazing. A lot of ECW feel to it, I've heard, in some of these big matches. So I think it's, you know, something that's really, really cool to say Impact has really done something very well. And I think that overall, some of their shows have been pretty darn good. It definitely shows they have a new stamp on what they want to do, and it's not some of those old faces that we remember from the negative days of Impact, but now we're moving on and moving forward with that company. And, you know, of course, Tessa Blanchard, I think that's part of the reason why she made that decision. But not only that, it's a really great business decision on her part, because sometimes when you go ahead and get too excited and you join WWE, well, they sometimes then don't use you the right way, and then you're hitting the street again and you know, have to redo everything. So it was time to just let her do her thing, let her showcase herself how she wants to showcase herself, and then go get that payday, then go get that contract and automatic, you know, fame walking into a place instead of having to build it there at NXT. So I'm looking forward to seeing what she can do, and I don't think it's a bad deal. You don't have to be a part of everything all the time.
Well, so, I mean, she's kind of always done her. I mean, she's done those spots for NXT, and she was part mm-hmm. of the Classic. But, you know, it's always been she wants to do her own thing, and she wants to be her own person. And I think Impact, as we've seen in her short time already there, she's already become one of the standout women that you need to watch there. And like you said, we've seen what that does for you. You can command more when you finish. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't do that if you're just doing developmental and doing all that. And, you know, maybe Ricochet can pull some strings, but it's still about you're being evaluated on what they've seen you do. And now you can say, well, I went out there on TV. It's for another company, but I went out there and proved my worth.
Yeah, well, exactly. And Ricochet is a perfect example of that himself. He did a lot of things and made himself really great before he showed up in NXT. He didn't just, you know, come out, make a few flashes and get picked up by the company and expect to be built there. He built himself. He built his own brand. Walking in the door, he got to be who he is. That's a good deal. That's a really positive thing for his career and, of course, with a lot of fans. So I think in the end of the day, this is going to be, you know, a wise decision on Tessa's part. I think she's doing the right thing. And we're going to see a lot of other people kind of go that route, I think, in the future. I don't think you're going to see everybody jump on board with everything that WWE does when it comes to NXT, NXT UK, heck, even WWE, the main brand itself. Don't expect people just to jump off their indie circuits and hop on that train, because sometimes they know it's wiser to hang around and build yourself even more and stronger and all that stuff. So really excited.
As Impact becomes more viable, it's another place for you to go aside from ROH and New Japan and WWE and whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's more avenues for you to grow and take your time to get to the big company where you know you're a little bit more hamstrung. You have a little bit less creativity there, especially once you get out of NXT for as long as, you know, Vince is there. But, I mean, even then, I think once you get into the main roster, I think Triple H is obviously... I don't think he's going to have that creativity that he can have in NXT because this is the main show. What you do has to be pristine, ready to go, and you know, put into the formula. So,
It's going to be, you know, really interesting to see how all this works out, especially, you know, what we're talking about primarily in the women's division. You know, they've already built some stars, but let's just be honest, the main roster, they've got some great talent, but they're still struggling to keep a consistent basis of getting them out there and really showcasing them at their best ability. I think they're still having struggles in some of those times, storylines, and just really showcasing the talent that they have. And I think that they're going to try their best to build on what they have and get better. But it's just going to take some time. And as we've seen with Asuka, Asuka is one of those talents that came and, you know, of course, came in very strong. And now we kind of see Asuka not really doing what we expected her to do. Io Shirai is a really great talent.
It's not Asuka's fault that she's not doing.
Oh, I agree with you. And you're right. That is not her fault. Not at all.
Well, but, part you know, not knowing English well is always going to be a problem when it comes to. Mm-hmm. The head honcho, but to sort of be ridiculed for not knowing English, or, you know, I feel like is pretty crappy considering the buzz that she had coming out of NXT, and then you absolutely neuter her.
Yeah.
It's
really sad. It really is. That's a big bummer for us guys that, you know, are big fans, and I think that there's a time and place for, you know, what you want to accomplish when it comes to, you know, using that mic to build somebody. But I don't think it has to be all the time. And I think this is a person in Asuka who doesn't exactly need to sit there and preach or stay on the mic. I think actions speak louder than words for Asuka. I really, really do.
Exactly.
So it bums me out when they try to force the mic upon her. You know, Io Shirai, I think coming in and everything that she's going to do, I think she has a better grasp of the English language that may be in her favor. Let's see what happens with that. But it's really cool to see that we still have this international talent coming in, despite the fact that we've seen that Asuka has kind of stalled a little bit, not because of her, because of the company. I'm still glad that they're still willing to work on that and do what they're doing. You know, and, you know, talking about international, Sean, there's something that WWE is kind of rumored to be wanting to do by 2020, and that's basically having two WrestleManias. And I think what they're looking at here is having their major WrestleMania, like they do every single year. But I think that they really enjoyed what they had at the Greatest Royal Rumble. I think it was a big show for them. I thoroughly enjoyed it myself.
It was the highest grossing international show ever, so...
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, the Saudis definitely paid up for that, and I'm glad they did because I really enjoyed the show myself. Thought it was really cool. It felt like another WrestleMania, to be honest with you, because all the fireworks and everything they put into it. And I think WWE kind of feels like, hey, this is a good deal. If we can make some big money internationally and put on these big shows, we can basically have two WrestleManias a year. Maybe we don't call the other one WrestleMania. Maybe we call it, you know, blah, blah, blah. But at least that will be a huge show and we'll make tons of money. Think about this, Sean. So they could have a giant show in Japan, you know, kind of go over there and do something really, really big.
Yeah.
They can go to Australia. They can go anywhere. You know, of course, you know, the UK is always big, and do another big show, really, you know, make some good money off it, and keep the fans happy. We don't have to wait around until April to have our big moment. We get a chance to maybe to have some other big moments in the middle of the year.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're already doing that Super Showdown event in Australia, which that's a huge thing in itself. You know, they have the UK TV, which they're taping the first shows for that this week. And, you know, they're looking, they have the NXT UK. They're trying really hard to expand into international. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to, you know, talk about, not just talk about, but be about as an international brand. And the way you do that is to continue to have events in these places. Now, granted, you know, perhaps one of these years they will be able to have the women at the Greatest Royal Rumble show or whatever event they're going to have in Saudi Arabia. You know, that notwithstanding, these international deals that they make, you know, they still have to announce the TV deal with the UK, the TV deal with India. I mean, India is another big place for them. We saw that. We saw the rise of gender for a reason. That didn't go away overnight, regardless of whether gender was successful or not. As far as, you know, from our perspective, the fact is those places are big for WWE, and they're a big part of what gets their revenue and all that stuff. And the only way you're going to get more fans is to come to them. And I think they finally realized that you can't just have these events here and hope that you're going to keep these fans. You got to go to them sometimes. And it's not just, oh, let's have a world or, you know, international tour for South America this week, or, oh, we're going to go to a house show in Australia, and half the people that are important aren't going to go. Like, no, we're going to have a big event. And I think it shows them that they're serious about that. And that's important if you want to grow internationally. So, kudos to them for wanting to do that. I agree with you. I don't think you need to call it WrestleMania International, whatever it is they want to call it. But if you want to have a huge show, like this year's in Australia, next year's in England, I'm totally down with that.
Heck, I would even like to see maybe they brand the SummerSlam the international show. Why not? Why couldn't it be, you know, something like that? There could be other big pay-per-views of the big four you mentioned, but, I mean, I think SummerSlam would be a great time, you know?
Well, it would have to be SummerSlam if they don't make another event, because, you know, Royal Rumble's a gimmick, and Survivor Series is also a gimmick, so...
Yeah,
you know, it won't have the same feeling as you would of SummerSlam being that summer WrestleMania, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I think that you could have all the big things there, all the big names, all the fireworks, all the glory that comes with a, you know, halfway point to the next WrestleMania. Why not do it internationally? And people already know that brand. They know the SummerSlam, you know, is a big deal. So I don't know, but it's just something food for thought. But I think that in the end of the day, we're looking at a wise idea. I don't think that this is a bad idea. I know there's lots of people out there saying, oh, two WrestleManias, really? No, I think if you really think about it and you really brand it the way it needs to be branded, I think it's a perfect thing. Like I said, the Greatest Royal Rumble was a lot of fun to watch. I know at the end of the day, it really didn't mean much to what happened on regular WWE television. I get that, but it didn't matter because it was just a lot of fun. And sometimes that's what you want. Sometimes you just need mindless fun at times, right, Sean? Sometimes right. You just need to be able to sit back and just have fun, not sit here. So, okay, how is this going to figure into the next storyline? Okay, so is this going to be the time when he turns, or is this going to be the time when this, you know, faction breaks? Sometimes just sit back and watch wrestling and have a good time, for God's sakes. And I think this is a perfect example of it. And you know, maybe they do that, maybe they don't, but I think that's a big factor in why I love the Greatest Royal Rumble. And you know, we'll see. Just, you know, some things to throw out there. So this is a really cool deal. WWE is still, like I said, trying to make their way to make more money, to be the biggest they can be. They're already the biggest and baddest. That would be so hard for anyone to ever overtake them. It'll never happen, to be honest with you, but people can try. But they want to keep their mark. They want to stay strong. They want global power besides just, hey, America is our stronghold, and then we try. We try everywhere else. They want to be a stronghold globally. So here they go. You know what's interesting too, though, saying all that, Sean, I think they have their feet to, you know, a little bit of a fire, because New Japan has just been amazing. They've grown leaps and bounds. New Japan is in every wrestling fan's mouth. Let's just be honest. It really is the case. Even people who don't know a lot about New Japan are talking about it because they're hearing all these stories. They're getting a chance to see some of the events. You know, of course, that G1 special that happened here in the States, that was a lot of fun. That was a great show. amazing event, and a lot of Americans got to check it out. And so with New Japan continuing to expand their brand and expand everything that they're doing, they're trying to make their name well known and trying to make sure that WWE says, okay, we need to worry a little bit. What's interesting too is this is even kind of carrying over into the WWE locker room, because we've got some former New Japan stars in that WWE locker room whose contracts are going to be up in January, and they could possibly just jump ship and head back over there to Japan. One of them is Nakamura, which, you know, he's not been doing a whole lot. I mean, yes, he's the United States champion. It's taken a long time for him to get that far. We got Gallows and Anderson, who I'm sure they're enjoying the payday in WWE, still not doing what they were over there in New Japan. And, you know, AJ Styles, he was one of the guys that hopped over here and did the same thing as those three guys. But AJ Styles is basically, in a sense, the face of WWE. I know they're going to try to say Roman Reigns is, but let's be honest, AJ Styles is the face of this company right now.
AJ Styles is on the cover of 2K.
And that's my point too. I mean, he's the one guy that all the fans can agree that they love, and then they agree that they're okay with him being on the face of their video games, on their merchandise, whatever. So AJ Styles is the one guy that probably not going to jump ship. But
AJ Styles is the only guy that's also spoken out about saying that he'd want to resign. I mean, and that was after he said, like, hey, at 42, I might call it quits, you know, but 42's come and gone, and he's thinking about resigning again. It shows how much he has, you know, grown and earned himself the spot that he has. I mean, obviously, being at the pinnacle of the top company and getting to be WWE champion, I mean, that's a dream that you have as a child, and he's getting to live that dream, I think, that's why would you want that to stop right now, you know? I don't blame him at all if he wants to go past his, you know, previous limit, or maybe he feels like, well, I still feel good, I'm going to keep going. You know, Nakamura, I wonder, because his whole thing about leaving New Japan was he was tired of the IC title. He was tired of the IC title. Well, you've been fighting for the U.S. title, which is equivalent of, like, the NEVER title, and it's not even the equivalent of the New Japan U.S. title. It's the equivalent of the NEVER title in New Japan. And, like, that's sort of the level that I think Vince sees you at. I don't know that, you know, you're going to get to be WWE champion. And do you go back to where you know you have popularity? You know you're going to spike the audience even more for New Japan. You know, we also got to remember that, you know, again, Nakamura's in an older age. At this point, how much more does he want to do? Does he want to keep taking it easy in WWE, or does he want to go back and end his career in New Japan? That was sort of the thought when he left, right? The idea was that he might come back to kind of end things with the company that gave him everything, and that he gave everything to. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back. Now, Gallus and Anderson is a different story, because, you know, Bullet Club has evolved since the time that they were around. I mean, now Firing Squad is what it is, and Tama Tonga's been terrible in the G1, and that's pretty normal for him. But they've sort of made this thing with the Bullet Club an interesting story for people. And does Anderson want to uproot his family again and take him back to Japan? I mean, I don't know his wife's from there, but I'm just saying, like, do you want to go live there again? I don't know. I mean, they're also of that mindset of, could they just be fine with taking the payday and keep going, you know? Are they past that point of, does it matter if they're really doing something, like, profound, or are they good with just, okay, we're doing our jobs, doing our thing, and we get money to be able to take care of our families later, you know, which that's a factor. I think the only one that's really in danger, and maybe at the end of the day, WWE doesn't really lose a whole lot. Nakamura goes back to New Japan. I think New Japan gains a lot more until Nakamura gets back into his old ways of kind of just dogging it for half the year. But Yeah, I think, honestly, the bigger news for New Japan is if WWE goes and grabs Juice Robinson from them.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's somebody that is a great underdog. He is U.S. champion right now. He's been fantastic for them. He has grown every time you see him. He's better. The fans love him. He's really cultivated a following in New Japan. He's changed his style to go back to WWE again. I mean, that time is right for him to go. Like, I don't think his star would be any higher at this point. But it's like, do you really want to leave the company that's done all this stuff for you, where you could be one of those key cogs again, still, of coming to America and one of those guys that could push that? Or do you want to go to the big American company and be like, hey, I made it somewhere else to see what you have for me? And I worry about, would the fans just see like, oh, CJ Parker's back, and not give him the benefit of the doubt, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's the big question that he's going to have to ask himself. And if you ask me, I mean, just from hearing his post interview after winning the U.S. title, it seemed that he had a lot of fire in his gut about NXT and the WWE, and, you know, a little bit of that bitterness that still kind of dwelled in him about what his experience. I think he's going to want to stick around in New Japan and see how far his star can rise. I really think so. And I think he's going to push forward and see if he can get some more notoriety, maybe, you know, see if he can find his way in a bigger and better match compared to what the U.S. title is over there in New Japan, which is still good and it's a great title to have. But I could see him trying to work his way up a little bit further on the card. And I think it would be wise of him to do that. WWE right now, you know, once again, doesn't probably see him as a giant commodity. They see him as a solid commodity. I think they would love to have him to kind of stop the momentum that he has over there in New Japan. And that's probably
that's
one of the biggest
things.
That's
what I worry about, too. It's more about taking somebody away from New Japan than it is letting him be someone.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm not sure if that was the case with War Machine. I don't think it really was. But War Machine was a big deal in New Japan, and, of course, with the Ring of Honor, and just doing their thing, and people loved him. And, you know, WWE found their way to get a hold of those guys, and they're not doing bad in NXT, so you can't really say that WWE, you know, did them wrong. But I think it's kind of interesting that WWE is looking at the New Japan roster and saying to themselves, okay, we got to poach this guy and this guy because they're doing good things and people are starting to be big fans of theirs. Let's slow that process down. And that's the way that they have always done business, right? They take your biggest stars, they take your, you know, most important people behind the scenes, and they bring them over. So I think that's going to be a big factor in what we see here coming up. And New Japan is going to probably poach people from WWE, but it's probably people that are already on their way out. Let's be honest, the people that they're already saying, hey, I'm kind of done with what you're doing with me. Let's go ahead and move on and move back to Japan. Or, hey, I'd love to go to Japan. So it's interesting. And the way the world is working when it comes to wrestling and the contracts and all these other things, there's lots of things involved. But the mindsets of some of these guys are really, really interesting. And I love to hear some of the interviews that these guys have and why they did what and why they're leaving and why they're going to different places. So really, really cool. And let's see. Like you said, Sean, I think Nakamura is probably headed back to Japan unless for some reason he just wants to just continue to, well, just get a paycheck and do things a little bit easier here in the States. But yeah, I mean, that's really interesting when it comes to what's going on with there in New Japan. But, you know, getting back on some of the WWE stuff, Sean, we've definitely seen, you know, some other stuff going on when it comes to, you know, wrestlers going different places. And one of the guys that WWE's had for a long time is Chris Jericho. And he's a guy that had always said before that he was never, ever going to sign or go anywhere else besides WWE. Then the next thing you know, he's in New Japan. And he's cool with that. And we recently heard that he would even be willing to go to Impact and do some work. And maybe not sign full-time or anything, but maybe go over there and do a little bit for those guys. Of course, he's a big big friends with Don Callis. Not fan. Trust me, I don't want Jericho tweeting me. But anyway, he had said that he would do that. And Sean, I mean, that could be big for Impact. Impact, like we talked about earlier, is doing some good things. Just imagine them having Jericho versus Austin Aries or any of the other guys on that roster.
I mean, that would be. That would be pretty great for Impact. It would be a big move for them to have somebody of that caliber to be on their show. You know, they've gotten many WWE cast-offs before, but to get a WWE like household name to show up on your show and put over Austin Aries and whoever else you want and have some good matches and cut some killer promos and see what else he can do with this character, because he's been able to, you know, once again reinvent himself in New Japan. I mean, that's going to be fun, and I think that's a good move for Impact if they could get that to happen. You know, WWE at this point knows what, I think they know what Jericho's trying to do. He's trying to have fun in his twilight years. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it doesn't hurt WWE any at this point.
Yeah, and you know, Jericho has said on his podcast that Vince is okay with him going to New Japan and doing these other things because he's got WWE all over him. That stamp is imprinted in his character and who he is, right?
Right.
So when he's in wrestling over there in Japan, people are thinking WWE. They're not thinking, oh, cool, a new young guy. Nope, they're thinking, oh, WWE star comes here. Mm-hmm. And the same with Impact Wrestling, right? I mean, if he goes to Impact, it's not, oh, New Japan's Chris Jericho. No, it's WWE's Chris Jericho is here in Impact.
Well, Impact's going to use that because that's going to draw mm-hmm. eyes. You say, oh, it's WWE's Chris Jericho is here. But, you know, this is great for Impact and smart by Jericho, right? Smart by Jericho to use that and use that goodwill that he has to be able to do whatever he wants, basically.
Yeah, and that's what Chris Jericho is all about, just doing his own thing, doing whatever he feels. You're right.
I don't think anybody else, aside from maybe like The Rock or something, could get away with having a boat and have wrestling on it. And
oh, I know.
So.
Oh, God. You know, I told someone the other day, I said, if I didn't have so many responsibilities in my life, I'd already had my room booked. I would. I would have already had
my room. I know you would have, yeah.
I would have loved it. And Sean, I'd have been begging you to go with me, but... You know, it's, you know, one of those things. I have other responsibilities, but I would love to go because I just think about every time they talk about, oh, yeah, you're going to get on the boat. You can hang out. You can go sit down next to JR and talk and eat and, you know,
I mean,
drink.
Yeah, like all the stories you get to hear. Like, that would be awesome.
Man. Yeah, and just all the talent, the Ring of Honor talent that's going to be there to the Impact, you know, stars. And you also have all those WWE Hall of Famers just kind of hanging out. Not only that, though, too, the comedians are going to have on that boat. Dear God, that's a great lineup. I love a lot of those comedians. So anyway, I know we're shilling for Chris Jericho's rock and wrestling careers, and we don't even get paid for it.
As if he needs that, you know?
Yeah, I know, right? Before we you know, move on past some of these other rumors and thoughts, Matt Riddle is a guy rumored to be heading towards NXT. That's a good deal if that happens.
It's already been kind of spoiled. CZW had a poster.
Did they
really? They had him in a poster that said, here, his final indie date before he goes to WWE, right on the poster.
Oh,
and it's
wow.
Like, oh, man. We've seen WWE before, like, pull people and delay them on purpose because of stuff like that before. So hopefully that's not the case for Matt Riddle. But, you know, this is somebody they've been chasing for a while. It's the last of the old kind of super indie guys, and I mean there's still some, there's still, you know, the Pentagons and Phoenixes, and but obviously they're gonna have the English problem, very much, you know, like the Oscars and Nakamura's have.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Riddle obviously does not have that problem. He just has a problem with weed that he needs to control.
Yeah.
But
RVD did too, though.
You know, he's great. He's a great worker. He has a bit of an attitude, but, you know, that's something that you can't quote in the locker room. And I think, again, to be able to have him show up in NXT and have him be there with all that talent there, I mean, that's impressive and that's immense, again, for WWE to be able to do that. So, hey, if it happens and it looks like it is going to, I mean, that's a huge deal for NXT.
Yeah, definitely. And when you're sitting there watching NXT Brooklyn, you're going to be sitting there saying, who's the big superstar they're going to show coming to NXT? And I'm sure that's the guy you'll see in the audience, Matt Riddle, which will be very, very exciting. So I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait. Well, let's jump in and talk about, you know, since we're talking about that, WWE Network has, of course, announced that they have 1.8 million subscribers, which is crazy to think, but they do. And it's really, Sean, speaking volumes and the fact that, you know, they're putting their stronghold and saying, look, this thing is actually working better than I think people gave us credit for.
Yeah, I mean, they keep adding stuff to it. So I've been impressed by how much I get notifications about, oh, well, they added this thing and that thing. And, of course, the big events that they're happening, you know, the Evolution, the Super Showdown thing, the Greatest Royal Rumble, all that stuff helps. Having those special shows, the NXT UK thing. Again, stuff that we've said from the beginning, like, they need to make it feel like you need to have this. Mm-hmm. Because the, you know, the old shows and the old Raws and SmackDowns and whatever, those are nice. Those are nice when you want to take a trip down memory lane. Or you want to be like Harry and watch Raw from beginning to end. I mean, those people that are doing that kind of thing, that's rare. You know, that's not everybody. And, you know, can't WWE's cool and all that stuff, but you need to have these special events. That's what people care about with this network. And they're finally getting that. If they have another WrestleMania or the equivalent to that in another country, that will make people want to get this network. You know, if you're a wrestling fan, you get to watch all that. I think that's good. It helps with the expanse internationally to have the network. It's everywhere. You can have it. You can stream it wherever it is. You can have it. You can make shows in other languages. I mean, how many freaking announcers of different languages do they have at those pay-per-views now? I mean, it's insane. So, you know, the Mae Young Classic has helped as well. You know, just they have been doing a great job with the network. I still don't know if those, you know, if ICW Progress are ever going to have their shows on there or whatever, but still, the fact that they've been able to create all this content for it, all their other revenue streams are pretty much up, up, and up, and up, and up. So right now, WWE's doing really well, and, you know, people that keep saying, oh, they're dying, oh, look at this, oh, look at that, I mean, maybe their TV every week, and trust me, that's why I don't watch it every single week like that. I either watch it on Hulu or I watch YouTube videos or whatever, because, like, sitting there for 3 hours, God bless you people that can do that. It just, their show is not entertaining enough to be able to sit there for 3 hours, and that's fine, but the rest of their stuff's doing great, so what do they have to complain about?
Exactly. And, you know, the one thing I'll say is they are not, you know, backing down on giving you some of that original stuff that we were looking to see go away, because they were kept talking, well, we're going to cut back, we're going to take this away, and they almost cut Edge and Christian's show completely, then they brought that back, and it's going to be back, I think, this fall. You know, Ride Along has been fun. I'm loving those shows. I'm, you know, been catching up on a few of those lately, and I'm just enjoying them overall. And then, of course, you know, you got those Table for Threes, and you got, you know, that other show, Something to Wrestle With. That's another big show. So they've got some things there to really keep you interested. Camp WWE, something to make you laugh. All these different things are available. You get a sneak peek, and it really does feel like a sneak peek into the lives of these superstars you watch week in and week out. That's why I love Ride Along. It's why I watch in some of these other shows, you know, the Table for Three, because you really feel like you're sitting down and just listening to these people talk about their lives and what they're doing. You know what I mean? It feels good. So I'm really happy. And the one thing I'll say, though, is, Sean, you know, you get intimate with these shows. I was watching the Little Big Adventure. That's the Ride Along that I watched the other day, and it's kind of fun. Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss were on that one. That was kind of fun to watch them go back and forth and talk. And then, of course, they had Titus Worldwide driving their car, and boy, they, you know, they try to kind of bury Dana Brooke on TV. Well, boy, did they bury her in this one, because half of it was about her talking about her pooping.
God.
So I, yeah, it's like, boy, you're gonna bury her even more, apparently. So you'll have to check it out if you haven't seen it yet. It's pretty interesting. So Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, the WWE Network is definitely showcasing that they have plenty for you to spend your money on, and it's only $9.99 right now, so jump on it now while it's only $9.99. Moving on, though, Sean, we had some other information coming out about the WWE financials. Why don't you lead us down that little path here and kind of tell us some of the big things that came out of that?
I kind of already talked about most of it, honestly.
Did you? Okay.
It's just that they're trying to expand internationally. You know, they're still trying to figure out the UK TV deal and the India TV deal and all that stuff. I mean, I think... They're doing good stuff with that.
Okay, well, good. You know, well, we got that.
And I mean, if they can get The Rock to come back, like he keeps, he's been floating that out there, Gary. You know, in several interviews, I think that's also because these movies he's been doing lately, they have not been doing great at the box office.
Yeah.
You know, Jumanji obviously was, that was a freaking smash. But, you know, Skyscraper wasn't that good.
Yeah, I heard, you know, they're trying to recreate Die Hard in this generation, and you just can't recreate Die Hard. Just can't. You know? So, not everything The Rock can do can make all the money in the world. It's just not going to happen. You're going to have flops here and there. I mean, even the biggest stars, Tom Cruise, you know, it's just people with that name value have had flops. So, you know, it's going to happen to him too. And, you know, for him to get back in the ring, to me, that's a huge deal. If he really wants to do that and he really is honestly, you know, being serious about it, I feel like there's a name or a person that he has in mind that he wants to get in the ring with. Because outside of that, I mean, what really does it do for him? Well, let's be honest, Sean. What does it do for his movie career? Maybe, of course, wrestling fans are going to want to go back and see his movies again. But I think Hollywood doesn't care if he gets back in the ring. I think probably they think he's a little insane for doing it. But I think there's some motivation there. Heck, it would not surprise me if he didn't come back to face Roman. You know, just have a big match with Roman to make it a big deal. So,
God.
Who knows?
But the last attempt to put him over.
Yeah, the last attempt. Hey, they're doing everything they can possible, Sean, just to make you.
Maybe they'll have Hulk Hogan show up and put him over too.
Yeah, boy. You know, talking about Hulk Hogan, you know, you're right on cue, Sean, because you know Hulk Hogan just got put back in the Hall of Fame.
In quotations. He was never gone.
Well, let's just go by what the press release from WWE has told us, even though you're right, you're exactly right, Sean, never happened, never got taken out. But yeah, his picture got taken out. That was the thing, Sean, his picture got
then
taken
they
out.
Silently put it back in.
I know. They just don't tell anyone. Don't. But I mean, you got to think about this. WWE has their reasons, I guess, for the fact that they probably have some footage that they can't show unless they have Hulk Hogan involved. And they probably feel like they've distanced themselves far away enough from that whole controversy that they can probably sneak him back, you know, around his footage around without people making a big stink. It's not really working exactly as much as they wanted it to because they have people within their own company like Kofi Kingston, you know, Mark Henry, Titus O'Neil, guys like that, African American wrestlers who, you know, have very strong voices and really have big opinions about Hulk Hogan and what he said and how he handled himself. And, you know, what's even more interesting thing about this, Sean, is the fact that when Hulk Hogan came recently and apologized to the locker room at WWE, he apparently came and told everyone that he was sorry about what he said. It wasn't the right thing. He had no idea that he was being filmed. And that alone, that one thing, by making the excuse he didn't know he was being filmed and letting that be known, has really kind of put a bad taste in a lot of these guys and probably girls' mouths about how Hulk is, his sincerity is, really. You know, is he really sincere? Is he still using excuses? I don't know where to fall in this, Sean, because it does take people a long time sometimes to change their ways if they really are a certain way. And if you've got a little bit of bias or maybe a little bit of malcontent about people, it does take time. Do you think that Hulk Hogan is innocent of this, or do you think that he's just doing this because he wants to be back around?
Well, I mean, let's not be honest. I mean, or let's not mince words. He's obviously trying to be back around. Once you're there and you're Hulk Hogan, of course he, you know, is sitting there talking about wanting to be involved again, wanting to be there. Whether it's, knowing Hogan, anything matters to him. I don't know what the Hall of Fame thing was that big a deal. I think it's just, this is a step into him being back involved in the fold, and we'll eventually see him on TV, and it's whatever. I mean, they're just waiting their time. And I think this is good on the locker room. I'm glad that there's people speaking out. I'm glad that there's people saying how they feel, and it's not just everybody going, oh yeah, it's totally cool, whatever. You know, oh, he's back, he's a legend, or whatever. I think what New Day said is the best way to put it. There is no way you can talk about the history of WWE without inserting the words Hulk Hogan. He is a huge part of that history. He's a huge part of why Vince was able to be where he is and have the company where he is, and to be able to, you know, be able to do the XFL and all that, you know, and not have to have his soul focused on WWE. Hogan was one of those that you, when you put up Mount Rushmore of WWE, Hogan has to be on that thing, or it's not Mount Rushmore. So you kind of have to have him in the good graces in some way or another. There's people that are not going to like it, but I'm glad that they're letting them speak and they're not just censoring them and everything else. And that's the best way to handle it. Again, I don't know if this means that there's another year before we see Hogan on TV or whatever, but I guess it's good that he can be there around wrestlers again and talk to Vince and whatever else, and he's not blacklisted. I totally get Titus's reaction. I can't understand that from a perspective of, you know, not being African American. I don't know what that's like. I'm Latino, but I still, being white, I don't get persecuted, say, like a just total Mexican would or any other. Because I can speak this way that I'm speaking to you right now. It's just, I don't have a problem. It's been long enough. Just, I think WWE needs to be careful to try to do too much too fast.
Exactly. And, you know, WWE is trying to find their way around all the controversy, but they can't really do it as much as they want to, because it's just something that cannot be ignored. And they're allowing, like you said, their, you know, talent to say what they want to say and not censor them. And I think that brings a lot of healing, at least within the locker room. Maybe they're not healed of what Hulk Hogan said, and maybe there's still some sores and some scars or whatever from that. But at least the locker room can kind of unite and just be open about their feelings and, you know, work it out that way, and that's sometimes the best way. You know, we're seeing the big stink with the NFL and the anthem stuff and how that controversy and the way the league is trying to do what they're doing, as in just saying, no, you can't, no, you can't. And of course, that means a pushback. And that's what WWE didn't do wrong here. They didn't tell their talent to be quiet. They didn't tell them to be silent. They let them do what they needed to do to get it off their chest. And I think it brought some, a little bit more cohesiveness to the whole thing. Hulk Hogan himself, I think, you know, sure, he's a guy that wants to make that money. He's a guy that wants to stay around. He wants to be relevant forever, and he will be. There's just no doubt about it. He will be relevant for, you know, as long as wrestling's wrestling. Saying all that, you know, Terry Bollea, he is a human being, and he's made a big mistake, and I don't know his heart. I can't tell you his heart. Not around the guy. I don't know the guy. But, you know, from what I've heard in the past, that he really didn't seem to be racist any time in his career. You know, this is the only time anybody's really said anything about him being racist was through this video. And I think it was a moment of him being angry about something regarding his daughter, which I, as a father, I think that, you know, if something was going on with my daughter, I may be upset about something and maybe use something or say something that I didn't really feel proud of if I was put in a situation. And so I can't blame the guy for that. Now, what he said was not right. I don't agree with it. I don't ever think in my lifetime that I'd be sitting there saying that. But, you know, who knows? You know, I can't throw rocks at someone that, you know, because I haven't, you know, I've cast my own stones. And so anyway, I think that this is a situation that, you know, it'll probably heal and people will probably get over it as time goes on. But right now it's still a little sore and people are going to kind of, you know, go back and keep poking at it because they want to. That's the way this world works now. Social media, anyone and everyone that can will continue to pick at something so they can continue to talk about it. They need something to talk about. So that's what's going on with Hulk Hogan. Let's see how, you know, this whole thing progresses. Before we, you know, get out here, I do want to mention a couple of other things. One of them is a star on SmackDown that I think has really impressed me, Sean. And I wanted to bring this up to you because, you know, this is a guy that we followed in NXT. And he's a guy that is of Latino persuasion, that is Andrade St. Almas. And this guy is continually impressing, of course, all the officials in WWE, but I think all the fans too. I am so thrilled to see this, Sean. We have come on this podcast time and again and said, man, this NXT star is just not working out on the main roster. This one's not working out. This one's not working out. This guy comes out and just seems like he never lost any momentum out of NXT. Coming into this company and just really into this brand SmackDown and just making waves. I can't tell you how happy I am to see that, man.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I mean, to see how much Andrade Almas has come through, and to, you know, we were talking about how there was no way NXT was, or he was, they were wasting him away in NXT. Then Selena Vega comes and he completely changes his character. He gets on WWE and he's been absolutely impressive. And why not? He's an incredible talent, you know, and I'm so happy for him as a Latino star to be able to, and as a Latino person to be able to see stars like that. Like, ever since Eddie, they've been trying to find that. And I loved Ray for what he was, but let's be honest, he took what Eddie was doing and flourished off of that. To finally have a Latino star that can do things on his own. And rise in his own way and impress in his own way. That's incredible. And not have to wear a mask as well. He's just being Andrade Almas, which is great.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what I love too about him, Sean, is the fact that, you know, he doesn't have to speak English. And yeah, as great as it would be, you know, to have him just speak for himself, it's really cool to kind of see that old school way about doing it by having a manager that speaks the same language as he does, but has a strong voice. And Zelina Vega is that perfect example of it. And it's just really working well. You know, we had Alberto El Patron, or of course Del Rio in WB, and, you know, he speaks English very well, does a great job. But at the same point, it was almost like his repertoire, his cadence, everything he had was the same old thing every week and week in and week out. Same old stuff, same old vocabulary, never really changed. In this sense, with someone who's kind of translating for Cien Almas, you have an ability now to kind of change it up every week, right? You have a new vocabulary, you have something else coming in. It's not the same old, you know, oh, perro all the time. You know, he could say it, but it won't feel that, like, you know.
Oh my God.
it's just the truth. So I mean I'm like I said, I'm just so happy for him. And Cien Almas, continue it, man, because I want to see it. You know let's be honest, Sean, it's been really sad since Eddie's gone and since Rey Mysterio has gotten up there in age and he's gone, we don't have any strong Latino stars in WWE. We just don't, right? You know, Kalisto or anybody else, they're just not there. Sorry, just not there. And this guy could be the next big Latino world champion. And that excites me. That really does, because it's something different. It's something that's special. I've been waiting for a guy that's in the vein of Eddie Guerrero. We'll never have another Eddie, but at least we can have a guy that's similar, a guy that has a presence about him. And you know, I'm not saying Cien Almas is at that level yet, but he's got time to grow. And who knows what's going to be in 3 years, right? Heck, even 2-1. So I just think this is a good deal, you know. Another guy that's flourishing right now is Tommaso Ciampa, NXT. I mean, this guy has really pushed his way from, you know, the indie circuit and hopped on the NXT. And I don't think anybody really expected a lot out of this guy. But this guy is probably one of the hottest heels in not just NXT, but in all the brands of WWE. I mean, this guy has some pretty strong heat with the fans. He's come with a big, stick and is really swinging for the fences. This guy has just really done some big things. I'm a huge fan of his, and yes, I'm probably putting him over way more than maybe some would, but I've heard other people talk about this guy and really praise him really strongly. He is now, of course, you know, apologize for anybody who hasn't watched NXT. Spoiler alert. Of course, this happened 2 days ago. So he is now the NXT champion, Sean. And he's a guy that I think is going to wear that belt.
He was in our intro there. Mr. Yeah. NXT champion. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was, you know, if no one really knew who the voice was, I was just going to let it be like, oh, who was that? Wait, that's not who? You know, so. Hopefully that didn't spoil too much, but you know, yes, he was in our intro, and I think this guy, you know, is going to do some really, you know, interesting things going forth in NXT. And man, I'm so happy for him. I just can't tell you, because if you've ever heard this guy's story, and he's got a lot in his career left, so you'll hear more about his story later, I'm sure. But I mean, this is a guy that, you know, was attempting suicide. You know, he was ready to end his life, and. You know, this is a big way to kind of showcase to people that, man, you're thinking about doing something negative like ending your life. You don't know what's in store for you. You don't know when that next big championship is for you. Maybe not be a literal championship, but it may be a promotion at your job. Maybe something special in your life, meaning that special someone, having a kid, you know, doing something special with your life, getting that job that you've always wanted. So, it's really cool to see that he is the NXT champion right now, and he's done a great job, just excellent job. I'm so very proud of him.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, I mean, it's awesome for him to finally have that moment.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, Sean. Once he hits the main roster eventually, once they do whatever they're going to do with him, I cannot wait to watch the Tommaso Ciampa 24. Because I guarantee you, if he wins WWE Championship or does anything big, they're going to have a 24 about that guy. They've got to. That's a huge story and really inspirational, if you ask me. So, but yes, so I think that pretty much wraps up everything we have tonight. I wasn't sure if there was anything else on the docket, but I think overall we've kind of touched on all the big things that have been happening this past week and past weekend on wrestling. We've got some other great stuff coming forward in the future, so be waiting and ready for that great stuff coming up. Besides that, make sure you don't forget to go hit that subscribe button over here at Wrestling to the Max. And the way you do that is you go find the W2M Network. You find it there on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're getting us, and hit that subscribe button. Once you do that, make sure you also take the time to rate and review. Just get those 5-star button and do that. Hit 5 stars and give us your review on the show, whatever you want to say. We'd love to hear from you guys. It just gives us a little bit of headway and let people know about us if you do that. And we appreciate it. Everybody that's already done it, thank you. If you haven't done it, please do it for us. And also make sure you go check out all the other great shows over at the W2M Network. W2Mnet.com has a lot of great things over there for you to go check out, so please go do that. And man, we really, really appreciate all of you that have taken your time to come and check us out tonight. We have been on hiatus. I know it's been a long time, but I mean, I appreciate all the patience that you guys and girls have had for us. A lot of things have been going on with us, like we said, World Cup. I've been bringing twin babies home. So it's just been a hassle for us just to try to even get on and talk to each other. Sean and I have barely even had a chance to really even talk. So this is a big fun night for us to get a chance just to sit down and talk to each other and talk some wrestling. And make sure, once again, you go give our friends over at FormulaOneMania.com and Last Word on ProWrestling.com some love as well. Make sure you do that. And, of course, we thank you once again for joining us tonight. And, Sean, any final words for the people before we get out of here, buddy?
Yeah, for sure. Just make sure you do check out the WWE Network. You know, check out some of the other shows. The soccer podcast is still on a little bit of a break until Sunday, where we're going to try to get back into the swing of things. When you have the big event, you know, basically soccer just had its WrestleMania, you need a little bit of a come down. So the video games podcast, we finally got back at that as well. Mark had to have emergency gallbladder surgery, so that delayed it more than it was supposed to. But we did two shows back to back. I had one of those like Dunkin' frozen coffees at the wrong time, and I couldn't sleep till like 5 a.m. So I was like, Mark, let's just knock both of these out, since we've been waiting like a whole week to do this. So we did a whole before San Diego Comic-Con and a what happened during San Diego Comic-Con. So you'll get to talk, you'll get to hear us talk about so much stuff, including the James Gunn getting fired for stupid crap, and every other thing, Rick and Morty almost being in danger, and everything else. So lots to hear us discuss. And also, I don't know that there's that much crossover with this, but I'm going to be guesting on a podcast called I Am Anime Podcast of some sort on Monday night. I think it'll show up at some point for you on a Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll get to talk about video game stuff and anime, but the guy that's on there, he's also a pretty big wrestling fan, so I don't know, maybe we can get him to be on the show one of these times in exchange. But I'm kind of looking forward to it. I've never been on an anime podcast before. That's another one of my loves that I don't talk about too much, and I don't get to talk about it too much on the games podcast because Mark doesn't like anime at all, so
yeah.
You know, it's nice to have like that other outlet there. And cool, so like I get to do that sometimes, guest on other people's podcasts, and you know, get to do that again this upcoming week. So hopefully you guys check it out, and of course we'll try to make sure that we do this at least once a week. Try to make it on the Thursdays so you guys get used to us, you know, being back. And of course, this is always fun to get to talk to, like what Gary said, like we haven't really been able to talk because both of us are doing stuff. And I know from experience, having, you know, not just having one baby is hard enough. Having two babies is, oh my God, I don't even want to imagine that. So, and then also going to work and doing all that stuff. So, you know, and then having another kid that's still young, you know, there, at least Anaya, you know, if I had a baby, Anaya can kind of take care of herself for the most part. I don't have to be around her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lily's still at that age where she's, you know, you got to pay attention to her. So that's even more of a challenge. Props to you for being able to deal with that and Amanda as well. So, you know, hope things keep going well with you guys. And yeah, I mean, there's been a little bit of a shakeup on the review shows, just to let you guys know. So I don't know how frequent they're going to be, you know, that you guys have already seen them kind of bouncing around. They don't always do it Monday night. They don't always do it Tuesday night. Sometimes they, you know, do them Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday afternoon or Thursday afternoon, but they try to get them done for you. It's just, some stuff's going on with Liz, and Harry's very busy as well. So, I don't have cable, so it's hard for me to be able to just jump on when one of these guys has to miss. So if you're missing a Raw or a SmackDown review or something like that, we're sorry, but we're human and things happen. And same thing with Gary, like, you know, we were talking about it takes him like 2 days to watch, you know, one Raw or one SmackDown. So you probably don't want to hear us talk about Raw on Saturday, 2 days before the next Raw is going to come on. So,
yeah,
you know, it's probably better just to like, just not do it that week, and everybody just gets to refresh and go on the next week. So just letting you know what was going on with all that, and probably will keep going on, but hey, at least we're back and we can kind of just talk about things in their absence. of having their review shows for a little bit. So
exactly, you know, and once again, I mean, just, you know, when they're there, please go check them out. And you know, once again, you know, Sean just mentioned it. Liz is going through some stuff, and of course, Mark and you know, his situation. So, you know, give them your thoughts, give them your prayers. We got some great people a part of this W2M network. The entire family is just a really great, and we want to make sure everybody's happy and healthy. And I've had a lot of people thinking about me and praying for me, and really, you know, sending good vibes towards my family, and I've appreciated every bit of it. Thank you all for doing that for me, and so let's continue to pay that forward. Let's do that for these other folks that are really, you know, having some difficulties in their lives and making sure that they know that they're loved. So please do that if you, you know either their social medias or anything like that. Please do. Please send them some love. So, well, guys and gals, I thank you once again for joining us tonight, and we will catch you next week for Wrestling to the Max's episode 198. 298. Man, I'm trying to go back in time.
You're cutting us 100 short now.
I know. My mind is going crazy. 298, guys. So, hey, two away after that. You know, we'll be at 300. So, all right, guys. We'll have a great night.
We should have been at 300, like, 20 weeks ago.
20 weeks ago. Yeah, no, we screwed ourselves over. That's just the way it happens. But anyway, guys, well, until next time, if you're not living life to the max,
you're not living life at all. Peace.
Later.